Man, thank you, Shelly. That was wonderful. I stay on Shelly. I give her a hard time a lot of times, but we're very grateful. We should be very appreciative. We are very blessed to have our media group back there. They do such a wonderful job, not just media, but sound and trying to make sure everything sounds good. If you can make my guitar playing sound anywhere decent, they're wonderful. And I always ask Florence, because I know what it sounds like up here, right, Kevin? And I'll ask Florence after the service, I said, did it really sound that bad out there? She says, no, it sounded wonderful. So thank y'all. Thank you. You do a wonderful job. I appreciate that. And we want to be able to recognize, hey, something else that we did this morning, the band gets here around 8 o'clock, or give or take 8:30, somewhere in there. Some of us get here at 8, and we were all set up, had everything laid out and set up, and we looked out. The chairs were already set. The tables were in place. Things had already started happening. And you just have to look around, and brother, I have an appreciation for this, is look around, and I see a church that works. I see a church that serves. I see a church that's selfless. I see a church that wants to be here. I see a church that wants to give in any way, shape, or form. I see a church that doesn't have to be all up here on stage, that wants to work maybe behind the scenes and make something happen. And your place is here at the Orchard, and we're so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. I really missed being here last week. And when I came here this morning, when I left the house, it felt like, wow, it's been forever since we came. But we only missed a week. I want to be here. I want to be here working with you, serving with you, worshiping with you, leading, teaching, preaching, doing whatever God has called me to do. And I pray that that's your prayer for the new year. However God would want you to serve, however God would want to use you, big or small, grand or behind the scenes, whatever. Allow God to do that in your life. Just submit and say, you know what, God, I feel led to do this. I want to do this. And then we will do this as a church. It will become ministry here. And it can be grand ministry that goes outside of these walls and reaches a community, or it can be stuff that goes on here every Sunday morning that has to occur, that has to happen so that we can gather, so that we can sit, so we can have church. Just as the Bible commanded us, don't forsake the assembling of the saints. And that's what we're doing here, is that we're coming together in the name of Jesus Christ. And don't ever forget that. We don't come here just out of habit. We don't come here just because somebody made us come here. We come here because we want to do something important for the kingdom, and we want to be different. Our mission at the Orchard to start off the new year is to make disciples. It's easy to be a Christian. It's hard to be a disciple. It's easy to carry a name and to carry a tradition that's based on a name, but it's very difficult to make disciples. It's very difficult to be discipled. It's very difficult to grow as a community, as a fellowship, as a church. It's difficult to grow in Christ. Do we want to see numbers? Yeah, we want to see numbers. I look out and I see numbers. This is good. This is great. It's wonderful. God's doing a wonderful work. He's captivated the hearts of your ministry team such that we don't want to be absent. We don't want to be away. We don't want to miss. We want to be here. And we want that same passion, that excitement to reside in your heart, in your mind. This ought to be a place, yes, that's different, but where we come to be discipled. And on Sunday morning, it's the time to be discipled in the areas of worship, in the areas of service, and in the areas of teaching and preaching. We can learn. We can leave here different. Our mission exists. The only reason we're here, to make disciples. We're not here to build buildings. We're not here to spread the name of the OCC. We're here to make disciples. Now, we have a way that we like to get that done. It's biblical. You can go look at it, and there's freedom in that. But we are here. We exist for no other reason than to make disciples. And our vision, not just our mission, but our vision, what we want to be a simple church. Not convoluted with a lot of rules and regulations. We want to be a simple church that loves God and loves people. Now you have to understand that a part of that, there has to be some kind of order, there has to be some kind of structure. But we want to be able to worship freely. We want to be able to serve creatively. And we don't want to have to come to some business meeting and beg for money to fund what God is leading us to do. We want to be a simple church that loves God, that loves people, and we want to make disciples. Those are some good New Year's resolutions, I think, for us as a team. And by the way, Brother Pat, Kevin does lead a small group. Every Wednesday night, this worship band, we get together and Kevin leads a small group. Kevin leads a small group whether he knows it or not. Kevin leads a small group because this is the focus of our service here at OCC is on this worship service. And part of it is the music, part of it is the singing, and that's Kevin. Kevin leads that. So y'all pray for Kevin in the coming year. I do. Because I want it to be vibrant. I want it to be real. I want it to be passionate. I want it to be not like other places. You see, I've said that all along, and Brother Eddie said this, is you can go to Orlando, you can go to Tampa, you can go to Miami, you can go up to Atlanta, and you can find worship like this. It's hard to find that in Lake City, Live Oak, Jasper, Madison, Chipley, Florida, where I'm from, South Alabama. So we have a mission, yes, to make disciples. We have a vision to be a simple church that loves God and loves people. Kevin leads our worship team, and it's such a dynamic group, but just pray for us. That it would always be very real, that it would be captivating, that it would be relevant. Pray as I preach that God would continue to lead and give us messages to preach. Pray that Brother Pat, as he ministers to your needs, it's a wonderful thing that God has assembled here, a very unique and diverse group. Pray for Cindy as she ministers to children, that leads the children's ministry. It takes a lot. And we need you. We need you. As we were, Brother Eddie and I were talking about where we wanted to go for the new year, and we'll actually start a new series next week. As we discuss this over lunch, it really come down to this. For this new year, what do we need to adopt? How do we need to move forward? And you're talking about two different entities. You're talking about one is the OCC in Lake City. They are more established. They have a larger crowd. They have a larger venue. They have other things. We're not them necessarily, although we are the Orchard Community Church. And we'll look like them and we'll do like them. But we're Live Oak. And we're different. We're different because we come from different areas. We're different because we meet in a bar and they don't. We're different because we have to come and set up a show every week, if you will. It's not a show, but you have to do this every week. It's almost like we're touring musicians. And we're different because we're bivocational. We all work jobs and then we come and serve. And God has called us to do that, and that's a wonderful thing. And that's, God bless, I'm so grateful for that. But what we would hold in common as the OCC, as the Orchard Community Church, whether in Lake City or in Live Oak, and trust me, I don't get into the us and them thing. We are God's kingdom, and we will work together. And we'll look like each other, we'll act like each other, we'll be uniquely different in our own little way, but we are the Orchard, and we're so glad and so grateful to be a part of that. But I think for the new year, what would describe us both is we need to adopt a more radical, courageous faith. And we'll start a series next week, and it's really entitled A Radical Rethinking of Money. And you've heard Brother Pat already speak to that. We're not saying a radical rethinking of how much you have to give to the church each and every week. It's a radical rethinking of money. As Brother Eddie and I were putting that series together and talking about the title to the series and how we wanted to address it, the fiscal cliff was looming. I had a long list of sermon or series titles that I didn't get to use. And I'm grateful for that. They did pass some measure, so we didn't totally jump off the fiscal cliff. But here's the deal. We need a radical rethinking of how we look at money, how we use money, what it's there for, how it will help us in ministry, how it will help us grow as disciples. What's it there for? Why has God given it to us? Why has God withheld it from us? All these questions we're going to look at, we'll examine. But as we start, and this series will start next week, today I just wanted to spend some time a little bit vision casting, but also saying to become a radical, courageous church and to adopt this radical, courageous faith. What do we want our church to be? And I know that I'll be skipping around in Scripture this morning. We want our church to be a church where, first and foremost, everyone is welcome. We want our church to be a church where everyone is welcome. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, because I read from the Bible, I teach from the Bible, I preach from the Bible, and you'll need your Bibles if you want to follow along with me. I'm not a big proponent of putting the Bible and Scripture up on the screen, although I can do that. I'd much rather you have a copy of the Bible and hold a copy of the Bible, because there's power in the Word of God. And there's something about looking at it, reading it, understanding where it comes from. But in 1 Peter in the New Testament, if you'll flip over and look in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we want our church to be a church where everyone is welcome. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, and I'll read it out of the NIV, says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Do you get that? Christ died once for all. If we are to set ourselves up, yes, to be radical, yes, to be have a courageous faith, we want our church to be a church where everyone is welcome, then you must understand this, that we're all sinners. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 3. That is what we have in common with the rest of Live Oak. That is what we have in common with all of Suwanee County, with all of Columbia County, Madison County, all the surrounding areas of this world. That is what we share in common with this world. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You and I, no matter how much we try to hide it, no matter how much we try to pretend, we are sinners, and we're just like the rest of the world in that regard. So if we want to be a church that welcomes everyone, where everyone is welcome, you must first and foremost realize that Christ died for sins, and that means every one of us. That means people who are not here today. That means people who are going to visit next week or the week after. That means we need to have open arms to whoever may walk through that door. And I know we do. I know your heart, and I know these things. But if we were to sit here on the first Sunday of the new year and try to cast a vision as to where we want to be and what priorities we'll have for the new year, yes, we know our mission. Yes, we know our vision. Where do we need to focus? Well, we need to become radically courageous in our faith. And here's why. You can go to a lot of other churches where not everybody is welcome, and we don't want to be that way. In fact, I won't let us be. Pat won't let us be. Kevin won't let us be. Cindy won't let us be. We need to be a church that is welcoming to everyone who comes here. Every sinner that comes through the door. Every piece of baggage they bring to church. And believe me, I bring a lot when I come up here to preach on a Sunday morning. Everyone is welcome. Peter writes, he says, "For Christ died for sins." And get this, he says, "once for all." And you can interpret this. Christ's death was for all time. His payment for sin was for all time. And you would interpret it another way. Christ died for sins once and for all. For all. Brother Eddie says, "all is all that it means, and that's all that it means." I think that's what he said. All is all, and that's all that it means. I get a little more deeper theologically in it, and because I know what word is used there in the Greek, and it's the word cosmos. All. That's what we translate in English. And it's as Peter is saying, Christ died once for all. The payment for your sin, as the Bible says, yes, we're sinners, and that the just penalty for sin is death. Then Jesus paid that just penalty for our sin. He paid by dying on the cross. Christ died, yes, once, yes, for all. That's you, that's me, that's people who aren't here, that's people who are living and love their life of sin. He died for them. Why can't they be a part of what we're doing here? Can they be welcome here? Would you welcome them here with all of the baggage they may bring, with all of the problems, the issues, the emotional strain they may bring? Will you welcome them here? Because Christ died for all, and we're not to be a church that is selective. Christ died for all. Peter uses the word, and it describes the cosmos. And what it means is, look up in the night sky. You see all of the stars. That's not all that are there. It's easy for me to look around Live Oak or to look around Lake City or look around my place at work and identify pockets of people that need to be in church. Christ died for them and all of everybody else. People that I'm not even considering. People that I don't even see, but you do. People that I don't interact with, but you do. People that I have no idea who they are, what their story is, where they come from, but you do. We need to be a church where they're welcome. We need to be a church and purpose in our hearts to do this, where they are not only welcome, but engaged. Because we're not interested in carrying the name Christian. We want to make disciples. You know what I've seen? and not just serving here, but in other churches for a little while. It's easy to invite. It's very difficult to engage. It's easy to invite. It's more difficult to involve. It's easy to be a Christian. It's difficult to be a disciple. And I draw that unique comparison. The world has no problem identifying what a Christian is. The good, the bad, the ugly, the warts and all. They label the Christian that way. Rarely do you see somebody use the term disciple of Christ. They ought to be one and the same, but let me tell you this, they're not. Not in this day and time, not in this language, not in this vernacular, not in the way that we live our lives. It's easy to invite someone to be a Christian. I do it every Sunday. I stand up here and I give an invitation. It's easy to invite somebody to make a decision. It's hard to involve somebody in church, in discipleship. And we are to welcome everyone by not just being inviting to them, but involving them. There's a difference. I've been invited to social gatherings where I was welcomed into the door and sat in a corner. Been there? Done that? By the way, the most awkward thing you can ever be at a social engagement is a preacher. Hey, brother, it's good to have you here. Man, I'm so glad to see you. There's something to drink over here. There's something to eat over here. And then all of a sudden, you're alone. Because for some reason, not Brother Pat, but me, I make people uncomfortable. I don't know why. Why is that, Kevin? I don't know why. I speak the truth in love. Try. You know, we have that tendency as a church. We can be very inviting. But where we need to be radical and courageous and separate ourselves from other churches and be more biblical is to involve people. It's easy to invite. And I want you to invite. And then we as a group need to involve. Otherwise, this church will be like every other church. And I don't want it, but we'll be that way. Because it's just the natural progression. And you know what that way is? Ministers have a term. They call it cliquish. You can invite somebody, but don't involve them. Then you said, we welcome you into the building, but you're not allowed in our clique. To be radical, to be courageous in our faith, to invite people and to involve people. To not just have a name Christian, but to make disciples. That's pretty radical. That's pretty courageous. It's radical and courageous because you don't see it all the time. I can't let us go down that road. Brother Pat can't let us go down that road. We can't do that as a congregation. We want to welcome people. Not just to be here, but to plug in here. We want to be welcoming to people, not just to invite them, but to involve them, to engage them, to make disciples. All right, I beat that one enough. Let's go to the next one. We want to be a church where everyone is welcome. How about this? We want to be a church where everyone is needed. Oh, brother and sister, you are needed here. Not just your rear end in the seat. I need that. I need to see that. I like seeing that. I need you here. We need you here to serve. We need you here to help us grow. We need you here to help us knock out these walls and go get someplace else. We need you here to grow this fellowship, to grow this church, not just in number. We need you here for us to grow in maturity. You can't grow in maturity. We can't grow in maturity unless you're here. You are needed. We need to be a church where everyone is needed. I'll give you a couple examples after I read the scripture. I got off a little bit. Romans chapter 12, I'll flip back in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you," hey, Paul couldn't have said it any better, Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function. Get this in verse 5. So in Christ, disciples, we who are many form one body. Now, how do you want that body to look to Live Oak? How do you want this body to look to the surrounding counties? How do you want this body to stand out and look? Paul says we form one body and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him do it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. If it is leadership, let them govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. We want to be a church where, number one, everybody's welcome. Not just everybody's invited, but everybody's here. Everybody's involved. We want to be a church where everybody is needed. We need your gifts. I've grown to understand this. Yes, there needs to be leadership. Yes, there needs to be some sort of structure. But what is most missing in churches today is active servants. Y'all have heard the 80-20 rule? 80% of what's done in churches is done by 20% of the people. I don't know the exact research to back it up, but I've seen it. I know what it looks like. I know that in some places you can wear yourself out. You can work your fingers to the bone. We don't want to be a place like that. We want to be a place where everybody's welcome and then everybody is equally needed. We need people to get the word out. We need people. We need you to help set up, help tear down, help clean up. We need you to use your connections and influence in the community where you're from to help us do ministry. We need you to give. We need you to encourage. We need you to support. We need you to pray. We need all of these things. You know what limits growth? Children. Children limit growth. Did you know that? Children limit growth. Because this is how. We will have an abundance of children, and it will limit us because we don't have enough people serving to work with children. And so we can only grow so big. Buildings don't limit growth. Because I can find another one. It's hard to find servants. It's hard to find disciples. We can have a lot of invitees that come and just sit, but I want servants. We want to be a church where everyone's welcome. We want to be a church where everyone is needed. What do you bring to the table? That's really between you and God. But you can use it here. We want to be a church that's radically different, that's courageous in their faith, that's radical and courageous in the way that we do ministry. We want to be a church that will use your gift, whatever it may be. We don't want to be a church. I can't let us be a church where we just have a wonderful assembly here every Sunday morning, and then it stops. You're not fulfilled. We're not growing. We'll die on the vine. Don't believe me? I'll show you 100 churches that have done just that. We want to be a church where everyone is welcome. He died for all. All. Not just some. We want to be a church where everyone is needed. How do you want this body to look to Live Oak? Do you want it to be attractive and intriguing and people come out here to see? Yes, to walk through the door, just see what's going on. And then before you know it, they become disciples. We grow, they grow, you grow. We want to be a church also where everyone is changed. Changed. Change is okay. Change is for the good. I'm about to make some changes in my office at work. If we're not constantly undergoing some sort of change, we will cease to be relevant, we will cease to grow, and then eventually we'll cease to exist. Change is okay. Change is not painful. Change is not a four-letter word, although some people treat it that way. I am a proponent of change. I love change. I love doing things different. I love seeing what works. I love seeing what doesn't work. If we come back to something that doesn't work, my fault. Shame on me. We want a church where everyone is changed. Lives are changed. Flip, I know that some of you are in a life group, you are studying Colossians. I believe that's at the Hebrews. Is that correct? Or y'all are going through Colossians? I'm not going to steal your thunder. Hopefully you hadn't made it to chapter 3 yet. I'm just going to read the verses. That's all I'm going to do. Colossians chapter 3, if I can find my way there. Philippians, like I said, I flunked Bible drill when I was in school. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Just bear with me as I read this. And listen closely, because don't ever forget, this is the Word of God. These are His instructions to us. Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Colossian Christians, to the church at Colossae. And he says, since then, since you have been raised with Christ, in other words, you're a believer, set your heart on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Don't be mired down in all this stuff going on in the world. Let's focus on kingdom work, godly work. Let's elevate our lives. Let's elevate our spirits. Set your mind, Paul says, on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Verse 5, here's the change. Paul says it this way. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. I love those New Year's resolutions. I make New Year's resolutions. I probably need to limit the number I make. Paul says this. How about this for the new year? Let's deal with sin one at a time. Let's change. Let's be different. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And he goes into a laundry list of sin. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Paul's implying that to be a disciple, you're going to have to change. And what's wonderful about that is if you'll just kind of back up, God will change you. The things that used to be important to you, that used to bring you satisfaction and joy in this world, and yes, they were sin, He'll deal with them. It takes time. It's not overnight. We want to be a church where people are changed, where change is embraced. But now you must rid yourself of all such of these things. And then it goes into this: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. That was the Sean section, by the way. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and you've put on the new self. You've changed, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or there is no Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. Get this, but Christ is all. There's that word again. And He is in all. And we want to be a church where everyone is changed. Either you're changed by the dynamic worship, you're changed by the preaching and teaching of the Word. You're changed through the fellowship of life groups. You're changed for what goes on here on Sunday morning, maybe what we do outside of these walls. You're changed because you go to night of worship. You're changed because you go to a Christian concert on Friday night. What's the name of that? Winter Jam. Winter Jam. Sorry. By the way, they violated a rule of mine. They should hold it in the late afternoon so I can get to bed early. All this staying up late is going to just kill me. It's really going to kill me. But I need to change, right? Right. You just keep waiting on that, right? Right. You put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. It says in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Y'all bear with me. I'll bear with you. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And all these virtues, above all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. We want to be a church where everybody's welcome. Not just invited, but involved. A part of a body. Not in the building, separated from a clique. We want to be a church where everybody's needed. We can use you here. We want to serve. By the way, the only way that you're ever going to kind of break through that plateau of growth in Christ, you eventually have to serve. I know too many Christians that can quote enormous amounts of Scripture, but they've hit a wall in their life, their growth in Christ, because what they have in their head has never motivated them to move their feet. They know all about the New Testament, but have never lived the New Testament. They know all about the theology of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, but they've never shared it with others. They know all about God's grace and mercy, but they've never extended that grace and mercy to somebody in need. We want to be a church where everybody's needed. We want to be a church where everybody is changed. I've been a part of too many churches where week in and week out, the same people did the same things and the same church existed in the same way for decades. I knew what my role was if we were going to have service that day. And as long as I did my little part, then they could check the box. I'm not interested in that for you or me or the orchard in Live Oak. I'm not interested in that. God is not interested in unchanged lives. He's interested in disciples. Knowing, feeling, sensing, acting upon the leadership of God in Christ. Hey, we want to be a church, finally, when we look at it, where everybody is believing God for God-sized things. I don't know how else to say that. That's actually how Brother Eddie said it. We want to be a church that not only exceeds expectations, but defies logic. We want to be a church where the only reason that can be given is they had radical, courageous faith. They trusted that God would do something for them. They acted in faith, and He did. And by the way, when you read Scripture, that's how God is. He hasn't changed. He's not going to change. God will always be God. He cannot be somebody else. He cannot act in any other way than He is in His being and in His essence. I'm getting real philosophical on you right here. The only way we won't accomplish God-sized things will be our fault, not His. The only way that we will not accomplish God-sized work, unbelievable, unexplainable, miraculous, wonderful work, experience unbelievable, miraculous growth, change, fellowship, will be because we don't trust God or we don't want God to do that. You say, Brother Sean, that's terrible that you would even say that. I've been in a lot of churches that didn't want God to do that. I have a friend of mine from seminary in New Orleans that here's how God works, just funny way God works. I preached at a little church in Mississippi. I'll withhold the name, but it was a town that was, it had one caution light that nobody paid attention to. It was that small. I preached at the church. My friend preached the next weekend. They needed a pastor. They were talking to me. They were talking to my friend. They wound up selecting my friend. Here's how God works. He went and he preached the word. He led them to the best of their ability. They started baptizing people. They started growing in number. They started growing in maturity. And over the period of a year, they tripled in size. Now, just back up. There was only 10 to start with, so they got up to 30. Okay? And you would think that everybody would be praising God for such wonderful, miraculous work in such a small town in rural Mississippi, that God was alive and he was active and this church was thriving, it was growing. It had been resurrected, if you will. You know how they rewarded my friend? They fired him. They fired him. Because they didn't want God-sized things. They wanted things to remain the same. You're blessed because your ministerial staff and all of our flaws, we want God-sized things. I don't want to remain the same. Personally, I don't want to be the same as I was last year. I want to grow. I want to learn more. I want to do more. I want to feel more. I want to perceive more. I want to draw closer. I want to sin less. I want you, I want us to believe God for God-sized things. Because here's where we're at. We're in a critical year. Critical is not, maybe not the best word, because critical sometimes means success or failure. Here's where it's going to be critical. We're either going to be relevant and different, radical and courageous, or we're going to fall into ruts. Will you partner with me and Pat and Kevin and Cindy so that we don't get in a rut? Will you partner with us so that we'll welcome people that come here, not just by invitation, not just say, hey, glad to have you here. We have a gift basket for you, and then never disciple them? We want to be a place where people are welcomed and engaged and involved, not just invited. We want to be a church where everyone is needed, because you have gifts that I don't have. I have gifts that you don't have. And we really need to work together, because we are, as Paul says, one body. My question to you is, how do you want this body to look? We want to be a church where everyone is changed, regardless. Pastor down to a visitor. Everyone is changed. Every week. Every day. Everyone is changed. We want to be a church where everyone is believing God for God-sized things. I don't want to remain this way. This way's good. This way's great. You have wonderful, happy, smiling faces, and we do a good thing, and we're getting pretty good at doing this thing. We need to grow, not in number, not in finances. We need to grow in passion. We need to grow in excitement. We need to grow in creativity. We need to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to believe God for God-sized things. Here's one thing we need to believe God for the coming year. And we're going to outgrow this maturity-wise. We're going to outgrow a bar. And we're going to move into something God-sized. It'd be more real, be more apparent, be more relevant for Live Oak and the surrounding area. I'm happy here. This is good. Don't misunderstand me. I'm believing God for God-sized things. Okay? As long as he wants me to come here and preach, I'm gone. And I have a feeling he's got bigger things for us. He does. Will you believe that? Will you accept that? Will you trust in that? Will you start praying for that? And then when it happens, will you be on board with it? I believe God is going to grow our worship team. And we're going to have redundancy. We're going to have people who are waiting in line to serve in the band. I believe that we're going to have people that we have to set up a bi-monthly rotation, because we have so many people that want to serve with the kids, the children, the generation that comes next. That's what I'm believing. I believe that in this next year, we're no longer going to be a funded ministry of the Orchard Lake City, but we're going to be an autonomous partner with the Orchard. And we'll be the Orchard Live Oak, and we'll have our mission and our vision that's consistent with the Orchard Lake City. And there's no us and them, but we're all for the kingdom, and we're going to accomplish great things, and we're going to be self-sustaining. I believe in God for God-sized things. So that's a lot of things. I believe you're going to grow this year. I believe that if you'll commit yourself to listening to me, as painful as it may be sometimes, preach, and then go and study during the week and go back and listen to what God has to say. He said some things through me. He'll speak more through His Word when you read it. That you'll grow. That's what I'm believing. I'm believing that as the year goes along, Pat and Kevin and Cindy and myself will gel even more. We'll start to rely even more upon each other. Because as we grow, your ministerial staff will have to grow. These are God-sized things. I believe people are going to be discipled. I believe we're going to be different. I believe that we're going to be radical and we're going to be courageous. I believe we're about to learn about a radical rethinking of money. And we're not going to treat it the way the rest of this world treats it. And we're going to have a biblical and mature Christian understanding of what God blesses us with and what He withholds from us. And we'll have a better understanding of why and what we can do as the Orchard. Our mission is to make disciples. Our vision is to be a simple church that loves God and loves people. We are one body, and I love you. And if we have to start in this new year with this one sermon, know this: radical, courageous faith. That's what we need to be. That's what needs to define us. We want to be a church where everybody's welcome. We want to be a church, not just where everybody's invited, by the way. We want to be a church where everybody is needed. We want to be a church where everybody is changed. And we want to be a church where everybody is believing God for God-sized things. God to grow us. God to mature us. God to bless us. And won't it be exciting to be a part of a church where God is actively at work and growing people? Won't it be great to be a part of a church where you're excited to be a part of church? Hey, it's a long time I couldn't say that. And I was preaching at them churches. I love you. Thank you. Have a blessed new year. I'm so glad you're here. Invite somebody next week and then involve somebody next week. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this message, although it is kind of skipped around and pulled from different pieces and parts of your word. Lord, it is consistent in what we strive to be. Lord, hear our heart. Hear our heart. Change us. Shape us, mold us. Lord, give us a sense of urgency about everything we do and how we don't want to fall into the same patterns and ruts and mistakes, that we want to be an expression and an illustration of how you can radically change somebody and radically disciple someone. Lord, let us be the tool that you use to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.